Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 6 to 7 and verses 10 to 15. I read for you again verses 6 and 14. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, in England, there is a church by and for atheists. Now, you might think, with many who claim in this country to be Christians and yet don't go to church, why would an atheist want to go to church? Well, apparently it was started by some people who used to be Christians. Now they don't believe in God anymore. But they miss going to that beautiful place and hearing that beautiful music and the social interaction and making connections with good people and being encouraged to think and do good things. Well, that all fits with atheists' claim that you can be a perfectly good person without God. You can have a good life without depending on God. Being moral doesn't need to be motivated by fear of being punished or by the promise of rewards for good things you do, but simply by knowing that this is good and right, and what's good for all ultimately is good for me too. So the atheist church is sort of like a support group. For people who want to be good, they just don't want God. But what they ignore is what is realized by some support groups, like for those with chemical dependencies, that just knowing and wanting good isn't enough. You still don't manage to do it. You need outside help, that is God, to actually do it. So, why is it that we who do claim to believe in God come to worship? And why do we do the kinds of things that we do in worship? It's not just that we desire good, it is that we desire most of all God. And we recognize God as the source of everything that is good. So as we look at our text, we think about how we do what we can to get what is good, but there is no true good without the true God. And so we have good because God is good to us. Let's think first about how we do what we can to get what is good. Here's what Amos says. You turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate. They abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Well, if the prudent keeps silent in such an evil time, why is the prophet Amos so outspoken? Amos speaks at a time of the divided kingdom. The nation of Israel had split into two parts after the death of Solomon. Judah in the south, Judah being the main tribe there. Israel, the other 10 tribes in the north. And Amos is from the south, but he goes and prophesies in the north. Why does he do that, these things? First of all, because God sent him to do it. But second of all, because nobody would know these things he's saying here unless told otherwise. Because this is a time of great power and prosperity for the northern kingdom of Israel. Life was good. The people saw themselves as good. But Amos comes here and he says, no, you're not. The people he speaks to like and want good things. Living in nice houses, having good things to eat and drink at a good price. They like having friends speak well of them. They like prosperous businesses where everything runs smoothly. They like government that protects their interests. They like freedom to do what they like. They like peaceful neighborhoods. Well, these are good things. We desire these things. Political candidates today, they know that people want good jobs, low prices, government that works. And people work hard to get these things. And they expect leaders to do what it takes to get these things. But Amos comes and he says, society that looks good on the outside is rotten and decaying on the inside. He says, people get good things they want by doing what is not good. The government actually works by bending its own rules and perverting true justice. Those in power claiming to promote what is good are using their positions to benefit themselves. Businesses are running smoothly because they're greased with bribes. And the powerful are taking advantage of those who are not corrupt. The good economy and the cheap goods are at the expense of the poor who work for low wages and pay unfair taxes. And the people stubbornly insist on doing what they please, but things seem peaceful only because they hate those who expose problems and protest wrongdoing, and they tell them to shut up. So those who know what's good for them keep their mouth shut and go along to get along. That's what Amos is telling them. Can we say that these things are not true today? We like to think of ourselves as good people enjoying a good life. But it's easy not to notice how the systems that make life good for us can tend to make life difficult for the disadvantaged in our world. How cheap food and clothing that we like having comes at the expense of low wages and poor conditions for those who produce it. How cheap abundant energy can come at the expense of those who have to live in the bad environment where it's produced. How demanding our rights can end up trampling on the rights of others. How our privileged position can make us feel and act differently toward those who didn't start out where we did. We desire good things. But what is it that we desire the most? The young man in the gospel reading desired what is good. He desired being good. He tried hard to keep the commandments. He wanted to get into heaven. But in the end, he desired his possessions more. Our problem is a spiritual problem. We desire not just the good things that we desire the good things that God gives us, but as Christians, we desire them not just for our own purposes, but we are to desire the good things God wants to give us for his purposes. Amos warns that the good gifts of God, even justice and righteousness and peace, cannot endure when people desire the gifts without desiring God. There is no true good without the true God. And so he writes, seek the Lord and live. Let thee break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. Verse 14, seek good, not evil, that you may live, and so that the Lord, the God of hosts, may be with you, as you have said. Amos mentions Bethel. That's where he's speaking this message. Bethel is an ancient worship place, generation after generation. This is where Jacob, you remember, when he was running away from home, saw those angels going up and down to heaven. And so he's the one that gave it the name Bethel, which means house of God. God is in this place, he said. Later, when Rehoboam had led this rebellion after Solomon's death, broke away from Judah in the south, and wanted to keep people in the north from going back to Judah, that is to Jerusalem, which is the capital, and also where the temple was. He thought, if they go back to the temple to worship, they'll go back to that king. So to keep them away, he set up alternate worship in Bethel, which was just north of the border, easier to get to, where people were going through the motions of worship, much like that worship, but different. He sought independence and prosperity for his empire at the expense of true worship of God. And as Amos notes, they still were claiming that God was with them. The place is still called Bethel, the house of God, even though God is not home here. Today, too, many people come to churches to find the things that they are seeking. Some come asking for money, thinking, well, churches are a place where good, kind people will hand out charity and be generous. Others come seeking different kinds of financial help. Maybe the church has a program that teaches people how to manage their money, or other programs that will teach them how to have good family relationships, or how to deal with fears, or worries, or grief. Some may come for fellowship. It's a place to find good friends. And the church can indeed be a good place to find all of these things. But ultimately, help in all these areas comes not just from learning God's guidelines for doing things right, but from learning to know God Himself. As Jesus says to the young man in the gospel reading, no one is good but God alone. Like the young man, we may want to go to heaven, which is good, but why? So that we can be with dear departed friends and family? Or desiring to be with God? That's what heaven's about. Without God, nothing else good can endure or even matters. Amos warns these hearers, their night houses, their night vineyards, etc., that they worked hard for, they're not going to last. True worship and right living starts with recognizing that everything good comes from God, but also understanding why. We have good because God is good to us. Amos writes, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. As I said, Amos is speaking to the nation that is called Israel, because in this split with Judah, the 10 tribes broke off. That was most of Israel. It keeps the name. Now, the two largest tribes here were descendants of Joseph. And so sometimes he refers to them here as Joseph. But there's another reason for Amos to refer to Joseph. Remember how Joseph was abandoned by his brothers in the pit and how they had no pity on him? Amos, in his book, used the term the remnant of Joseph to refer to those who are abandoned, the lowly, the oppressed, the leftovers, mistreated by their fellow self-seeking Israelites. And he says, God cares about them, and God will be gracious to them. As God was gracious and had mercy on Joseph, the original Joseph, who ended up eventually as a ruler in Egypt, and who was able in a position then to help those brothers when they came looking for help during a famine. And he realized that God, who is in control of all things, allowed these things to happen, which seemed bad to him, as a way to help his family, the very family that had rejected him. This is how and why God is gracious to us as well. Those of us who are lowly and needy. It's because of Jesus, who was abandoned by his brother Israelites, despised and rejected, and who died, but as a result ends up raised again and ruler over all things in order to accomplish God's plans to save all of us. He is the one who, like in verse 10, speaks the truth about our sins and reproves, calling us to repentance. Because it's true, it's good for us. He's the one who, like in verse 7, who in place of justice experienced wormwood and gall in its place. That is, in our place, what we ourselves deserve. He's the one who, instead of casting righteousness down to the ground, has sent down righteousness to the whole earth, who makes us righteous. He's the one who even though he knows all of our sins, keeps silent about them in the presence of God's justice. He is the one who takes away our sins with his forgiveness. He's the one who, unlike verse 11, has built for us a heavenly home, not built with human hands, that will last forever, where we will live with God. And that happens when what we desire most of all is God Himself. Although we are tempted to get the things that we desire that seem good for ourselves at the expense of others, everything truly good comes at the expense of God, because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. If we are to desire and to seek what is good, we must seek God, because God will indeed have mercy. And as the epistle reading points out, desiring God means having faith, total confidence in Him. We tend to do what we need to do to get what is good. Even though the things we desire are good, we need to watch out that, like Israel, the things we do to get them are not good. There is no true good without the true God. And so there's only one way to hold on to what is truly good, and that is desiring and holding on to God Himself. And we can't have good, because God is good to us. Christian life and worship is not about doing things that will cause God to do what we want, but it's about receiving what God wants to give us by His own free grace, and then using them all in the ways that He has given them to us for, the ways that He desires, because of all that He has done for us through Jesus. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.